Working in front of here with all these decorations makes me instantly nervous. And also, since I came up here, didn't realize I was giving the sermonette and didn't know the have a computer and I didn't print it out, so I'm off my phone. So, and I'm having a hard time seeing it. So, if some of you like titles for your sermonette, and if you do, the title for the sermon is "Organizational Skills: How to Have Them." But today's a really exciting day, you know, most especially for Matt and Katrina, and I'm excited for you. I'm excited to be here. You're starting out to get together today, and it's going to be one of life's most fulfilling, exciting, challenging, and important journeys. And, I was thinking about your wedding this week, and it reminded me, as it does probably a lot of people, reminds you of your wedding. So I thought about that a little bit, and I remember the day before my wedding. And I was staying at Sabrina's parents' home. There was full of people. There were friends and family. There were probably 30 people staying at the house. And the night before, maybe like some of you, I just couldn't sleep. So, like a lot of people, there's the last-minute jitters. So I remember walking outside. It was probably 2 in the morning. And I was just kind of sitting at the edge of the field, thinking about things, looking at the stars, wondering to myself, is this the right thing to do? Is Sabrina the right one for me? So my older brother, Justin, woke up, and he noticed I wasn't there, and he went looking for me. And when he found me, we sat down, and we were talking, and he said, well, you know, what's bothering you? And I remember sitting there telling him, you know, your excitements, your fear. And I said, I just don't know. Is Sabrina the right one for me? And he looked at me confidently and said, well, Benny, have you read Proverbs 31? As long as Sabrina is just like that, then you have nothing to worry about. Now, for any of you know Proverbs 31, it speaks of this superwoman who can basically do everything and seemingly perfect that no girl, especially a girl at that age, could possibly match up to. So I said, well, no, Justin, Sabrina has no idea how to make linen from flax, and she's never supplied sashes to the merchants. But that's most of that story's true, some of it's not, mainly the Proverbs 31 part. But my purpose today is not to give Matt a checklist for Katrina on how to plant vineyards or produce garments on the spindle. But rather, my purpose today is to show us all God's revelation of an ideal wife. Because you see, God is indeed seeking a wife for his son. And if we want to know what God is looking for in us, look no further than Proverbs 31. Now, most of the times when we read this book or you hear a message about it, the focus is on the woman solely, on the model that they are to strive to be. But today we're going to look at this book, and I want you to look at it maybe a little bit differently. And I want men and women alike to read it as a message to each of you. Because in this book, God gives us a vision of his ideal wife, a wife of valor, the virtuous woman. So let's do this. What we're going to do is we're going to read the book, or at least the part about the Proverbs 31 woman part, and we'll read it, and then we're going to look at 8 things that each of us can learn about what God is looking for us as he seeks a bride for his son. So if you would, turn to Proverbs 31. And I'm just going to read it straight through. Proverbs 31 in verse 10 is where it starts on the virtuous woman. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. So he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. So as I mentioned, I'll point out 8 things. And again, try to look at this maybe from a different view. Maybe you've looked at it this way before. But look at it as God is looking for a wife for his son. The first point is, we love him because he first loved us. That's a verse you can find in 1 John 4 and verse 19. But it applies here. The symbolism in Proverbs 31 points us to Christ's redemption and sacrifice as the perfect husband and shows us that this is the starting point of our relationship and union. And if you look at it, it starts there. Verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies? The husband of her heart safely trusts her. It starts with the love of the husband for the wife. Christ for us. God has faith that we can be redeemed, or else he would not have sent his son. Verse 21. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. This is a reference to the covering of our sins by the blood of Christ. So, do you love him because he first loved you? The second point is our love back to him or for him should be central to our lives. Our respect for him is what motivates us. It is our heart's will to please him and to honor him with all that we do. In verse 30, it shows that she is a woman who fears the Lord. Her actions are done as a response to lovingly and willingly serve her husband and family. In verses 13 and 14, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. In verse 12, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks always to do only her husband good, and glorifying him is central to all her thoughts. Another point about verse 14 and the symbolism here, you know, the merchant ships bringing food from a long distance, symbolizing that she draws her provision beyond the realm of instant observation. And the spiritual significance of this is, of course, the important matter. The food for our soul is not found in our local circumstances, because the world around us is a wilderness. It's from the very presence of God that we must draw what we require each day. Prayer, dependence, meditation are the means by which we may draw our sustenance from afar. Is pleasing and glorifying God central to our motivations and first and foremost in the thoughts directing our words and actions? The third thing you can get from this is that God values righteousness greatly. And we read about flax. Flax is the raw material to make linen, fine linen. And she takes the raw materials that God has given her, and then you read in verse 22 through 25, we'll read that again. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. And strength and honor are her clothing. And she shall rejoice in time to come. It says here she makes fine linen and purple. And we know purple is the color of royalty. And linen, well, linen, let's turn to Revelation 19. We'll go back to Proverbs 31, but let's just turn to Revelation 19, and we'll read in verse 7 and 8 about another wedding. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, his bride, has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Notice the bride wears fine linen, which is righteousness. Sounds here like righteousness is a requirement to be the bride. It brings the bride strength and honor, as it says in verse 25. And it brings glory and honor to her husband, as we read in verse 23. Are you clothed in the fine linen of righteousness? Is that what others see when they look at you and how you live your life? And more importantly, are you striving to live to God's standards in your life? Fourth, our works to please him matter. God wants us to work hard to grow and in serving Him and others. Notice how it mentions the work of the virtuous woman's hands 7 times in this section of the Bible. What she does is a reflection of her desire to serve her husband and her family. It says she rises early and stays up late, as we saw in verses 15 and 18. She is not idle, as it says in verse 27. Serving our God is not part-time work or half-hearted effort. It's not easy. Do you work hard, full-time, to serve God? Number 5, our work, our words and our speech matter. And I'm going to turn back there. If you turn back to Proverbs 31, we'll jump back in again. Our words and our speech matter. Verse 26, it says, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness." Notice that we are to speak wisdom, which can only come, the rest of the book of Proverbs tells us, from intrinsically knowing God's work, God's word, His knowledge. Notice also our approach at disseminating such wisdom is to be with the law of kindness. Do you have this wisdom? And do you speak it gently and kindly to edify others, not to glorify yourself? Number 6, God expects us to help others in need. I mean, all this stuff is pretty obvious stuff, but I found this, the parallels to the Proverbs 31 very, very interesting. So if you look at verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor, and yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. Clearly, serving others who need was a central part of the Old Testament, a lot of the laws and the good examples that we find. And of course, it was a major theme of Christ's ministry when He came to earth. So it should be no surprise to us that God is looking for these same attributes in the wife for His Son. How do you serve others in need around you? Number 7, God expects us to turn a profit for Him. Just as the virtuous woman invests in a field, and as she takes her talents and returns more, and just as this brings honor and praise to the husband and the family, so we are also to be doing. Notice the parallels here between the parables of the talents and the parables of the fields needing harvesting. God has a work for us to do, and He expects us to be investing and returning a profit to Him. He expects us to bring forth fruit in our own lives and those of others. He expects us to be a force for pointing others to Him, because we are His image bearers. Are you producing fruit? Are you increasing for God tenfold or 100-fold, as it says in Matthew 13? And finally, the final point that we can get from this is God will reward the bride. As the marvelous book of Proverbs ends, it ends with these inspiring words in verses 30 and 31. "Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman, a bride, who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." God looks at the heart and the fruit of the bride, and He justly will give her to eat of the fruit of her hands, as it says. And He will praise her in His kingdom with the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Could there be any better reward that one could seek? So hopefully today you've seen in this book a whole different way of looking at the Proverbs 31 woman. I hope that you are recognizing that we are seeking to be His ideal bride, and that God is seeking for His Son to find a bride who has attributes like Proverbs 31. He wants us to love Him because He loved us first, and He wants that love for Him to be central in the motivation for our life. He wants us to adorn ourselves with righteousness and to work hard to serve Him. He expects us to speak wisdom and kindness, and He expects us to serve those in need. He expects us to yield a profit and bear fruit for Him. And lastly, He promises to the faithful, virtuous bride of His Son, the just and wonderful reward of an eternal union in His family.